Welcome to Gwinnett Church Online. If this is your first online experience with us, my name's Jeff, and I'm on staff here at the church. We're honored and thrilled that you're here. Maybe somebody sent you a link to this, or you just happened to find us online. Thank you for watching, and I have a specific goal for our time together. I'll tell you about that in just a second. For those of you that are a regular part of Gwinnett Church, again, we sure do miss seeing you in these environments. But today, we begin a brand new series called The Road Ahead. And what I want to do in this series is tell you from the very beginning what my hope and what my goal for this series is for you and for all of us. And my goal for this series is at the end of this series, you would be reminded that God has a plan and a vision for your future. God has a plan and a vision for you. And in difficult, challenging days like these, what has a tendency to happen for all of us is these circumstances have a tendency to shroud or have unclear vision of what God wants us to do or where God is actually taking us in the future. And when that happens, difficult circumstances have a way to beat down God's vision for our lives. That's why I love this image. It's a blurry image because for us, for the days ahead, or maybe the weeks or months or years ahead, it might seem a little blurry. But what I want us to do in this series is kind of to lift our eyes. And when we lift our eyes to a God who loves us, to a God who is for us, what we begin to discover and be reminded of is God has a vision for our future. And when we stay locked in on God's vision for our future and live from that to our present day, then what happens in that is it gives us hope. What happens in that is it gives us purpose. And what happens in that is it gives us some strategies of what to do on the road ahead. So here's what I want us to do. 3 weeks after we're done with this series, I want you to be reminded that God has a vision for your life. And I want the hope of that to rise in your heart and in your soul. I want you to see the vision of what God wants to do and to take you to in the future. And as you begin to see that, I want the purpose to begin to rise in your soul. But not only that, I want you to see that there are some things that you can do. Because of God's vision for your life, I want you to see that there are some things that you can do that will allow you to take maybe just a step this week, maybe just a step forward. And to do that, here's the bottom line of this series. If my goal for this series is that you would be reminded that even in these challenging days, don't forget this, God has a plan for your future. God has a preferred future for you. We can't lose sight of that. And when we understand that, it leads us to a really important truth, a really important principle that's really important in these days. And here's our bottom line. I'll just tell you from the very beginning of the entire series. And the bottom line is simply this. Don't let what we don't know rob us of what we can do. Don't let what we don't know rob us of what we can do. Hey, there's a lot that we don't know, right? There's a lot that a lot of us don't know. But at the end of the day, when we understand God's vision for our future, when we understand that the end game, if you will, when we understand where God is ultimately taking us, it gives us a purpose, it gives us a hope, and it gives us some strategies. Because at the end of the day, we can't let what we don't know rob us of what we can do. And so ultimately, as we begin to forge a new pathway forward, I'm going to give you three things that we can do. It's not an exhaustive list, but there are three things that I think that we can begin to do in this season that will allow us, once we stay locked in on God's future and God's vision for our future, if we'll do these three things, it will allow us to take a step toward God's plan for you and me. And the great thing about what we're going to talk about today is the fact that many of us probably feel stuck. We don't know what to do. So what I want you to see today is God has a plan for your future, and nothing about that has changed. Nothing about this season has surprised God. And when you begin to understand that, what we begin to understand is there are things that we can do once we see the vision that God has for our future. Now, to get there, I want to take you on a little bit of a journey that I've been on since March. When the pandemic hit, I called a friend of mine who has this massive job. He has so much responsibility for thousands of people across the country. And he called me and said, hey, what are you going to do? And I said, what am I going to do? What are you going to do? And so we began to talk about that. And here's what he said. He said, Jeff, what I think, there's two words that I've been thinking about in this season. And the two words are remember when. And what he meant by that is there's going to come a season when we're going to look back on this season and we're going to say, remember when the pandemic hit? Remember when 2020 happened? Remember when? And he said, whatever comes after that statement, we're writing that story right now. I'll never forget that. So as I'm hearing this from my friend Shane, I'm just walking through the book of John and just reading that as my devotion. And with remember when in my mind, I came across John chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And in these three verses, I've pretty much stayed there ever since. Because what I want to show you in this series is that in these three verses, there are three things that you and I can do. And when we do these three things, it helps us write an end to this sentence of remember when 2020 happened? And when we do these three things, it's going to position us in a much greater way to have a great story to tell about 2020. So here's what we're going to do in the series. I'm going to tell you the first one today. I'm going to tell you the second one next week. And we're going to end with the third one. But all of these three things, they're just found in these three powerful verses. So John chapter 12, if you're not familiar with the Bible, as you might know, it comes after John chapter 11. And John chapter 11 is a foundational moment in the ministry of Jesus. So let me tell you this quick story, and then I'm going to read the first three verses of John chapter 12. The story of John chapter 11 is Jesus has these friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Jesus is away, and he gets word from Mary and Martha that their brother Lazarus is sick. They believe in Jesus, they're friends with Jesus, and they know if they get the word to Jesus, Jesus will come running to save the day. They are ultimately surprised that Jesus decides to stick around for a little while longer. Eventually, you probably know the story, Lazarus ends up dying. Eventually, Jesus arrives on the scene, and Mary and Martha, as you might imagine, aren't too pleased with Jesus. Jesus goes to work. He steps up to the tomb, asks them to roll the stone away, has this amazing prayer, cries out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, and this dead man starts walking because he comes back to life. And everybody, as you might imagine, looks to Jesus and says, who is this man? So that's John chapter 11. John chapter 12 is kind of the epilogue of that story. And I want to read you these three verses because, again, in these three verses, there's a couple of things that are happening. First, we're going to be reminded of ultimately where God is taking us as followers of Jesus. And once we see that vision for our lives, the next two Sundays and starting today, I'm going to share with you the three things that you and I can do in this season. Because again, don't let what you don't know rob you of what you can do. And we're going to see what they did in John chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3 as an example of what you and I can do in this season. So let me read you these three verses. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, which is an amazing statement because everybody's like, wait, you mean I thought he died. So John clarifies this to go, yes, you're right. This is the same guy that Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Now, this is really important because it's not just a regular dinner. You've been to probably a banquet before, right? Maybe you've been to a retirement party and there are speeches in honor of the special guest. I think that's what this is. It didn't just say they had a dinner with Jesus. It said, no, this is a dinner given in Jesus' honor. And the reason for this is imagine this setting, all right? There are people at this dinner party who went to the funeral of Lazarus, and you're about to see what Lazarus is doing now. I mean, imagine the energy at this party. Imagine the wonder of this party. Imagine the shock and awe of this party. I mean, I just have to imagine that at some point people just looked at Lazarus and said, I attended this guy's funeral and now he's eating dinner with Jesus. Imagine the enthusiasm and the passion and the joy of this dinner. Now, here's why I make a big deal of this. When I talk about God's future for you, this is where you're headed. What I mean by that is that the scriptures tell us at the end of the scriptures that, hey, there's going to be a massive feast. There's going to be a massive party, and it's going to be in honor of Jesus. And for everyone who places their faith in Jesus, they're going to be there, and this party is going to go on forever and forever and forever. And I think this party symbolizes something, that a dead man came back to life because of the power of who Jesus is. And as I read this story earlier this year, I just think this story symbolizes where you and I are headed. That ultimately, if you're a believer and follower in Jesus, you're headed toward a massive feast and a massive party in honor of Jesus. And when you get there, and when you look back on these days, what do you want to say? Because I have a feeling when you're at this party in eternity, maybe because of how tumultuous this year has been, and as you're having a conversation with Jesus, Jesus might bring 2020 up. And in that moment, there are some things that you and I can do right now that he could say to you, wow, you locked in on this vision. Wow, you locked in. You knew this dinner party in eternity was going to happen, and you lived according to this moment. Well done. Well done. But I'm telling you, if you lose sight of that, if you pay more attention to current events than the reality that ultimately you're going to be at a dinner party forever with Jesus, then it might pull you away of what you can do and what you could say in that moment. Because maybe Jesus will say to you, and maybe Jesus will say to me, remember when you lived through 2020? And whatever you and I are doing now, he's going to be able to share, and you're going to be able to share an incredible story. That's why I think John chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, it's a snapshot. It's a symbol. It symbolizes where you and I are ultimately headed, a feast, a dinner party, in honor of Jesus. And when you look back from then to now, what do you want to say? So, here a dinner party, or dinner, was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Again, here's this dead guy, and now he's eating dinner next to Jesus. I can't believe it, because I attended that guy's funeral. Then verse 3, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, what we're going to do in this series is we're going to look at three things, as I mentioned earlier. We're going to live in these verses for the next three Sundays. But the reason I want to do this is for this reason. Because at some point, as I mentioned earlier, you're going to say, remember when? Remember when? Remember when? So knowing that, we need to be living now for then. We need to be living now for the dinner party and the vision that God has for our eternity with him forever and forever and forever. And the scriptures plead with us, don't lose sight of where you're headed in eternity with Jesus, because there's going to be one massive party. And what do you want to report back to Jesus in that moment? So today, I want to share with you one thing that you can do. Next week will be number two. The third week will be the third one. But this one is simply, I think, a powerful invitation that says, hey, there's a lot that you and I don't know, but there are some things that we can do. And we take a clue from Martha, because this little verse that says, Martha served. Martha served. Now, we know a little bit about Martha to know that this is probably part of her makeup as a person. She just loved serving people, and she loved doing that. So this isn't necessarily a new part of her personality. And yet, I think Martha is serving at a different level now. Because again, imagine this party in from her perspective, okay? So Martha's serving, and I don't know how this works. Maybe she's bringing some food. Maybe she's cleaning up. But at some point as she's doing this, I think she just pauses and looks at her brother. And she just has to pause for a moment because he's reclining at the table with Jesus. And I wonder, I'm making this part up, I wonder if somehow as she's just standing there in awe, maybe with tears in her eyes, knowing that she was there at the funeral of Lazarus, I wonder if she and Jesus caught eyes together. And I wonder in that moment if Jesus just smiled at her. I think in that moment, Martha began to realize something deep about Jesus, that the person we're dealing here with is a far greater Savior than I ever imagined. And I wonder, in that moment, if they did connect eyes, I wonder if Martha went back to the scene in John chapter 11 when Jesus arrives on the scene. I wonder if there was something in her that kind of winced a little bit when she remembered that scene. And here's why. I want to show you this scene in John chapter 11. So Jesus finally comes to comes to the rescue, if you will, but it's too late. It's too late. Jesus, we trusted you. Ever been there? Jesus, you didn't act according to our timetable. You ever been there? Jesus, I'm disappointed in you. And Martha goes a little passive aggressive. She says this, Lord, John chapter 11, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, imagine again, they're at this dinner party, and now her brother who had died is now back to life, and I wonder if she locks eyes with Jesus. And in that moment, she has a dichotomy. There's this compelling difference of a moment. In John chapter 11, it's this, hey, where were you? In John chapter 12, it's now Martha is serving at a completely different level. There's a difference here. There's a difference between knowing Jesus and experiencing Jesus. What I mean by that is in John chapter 11, I think Martha and Mary, hey, they knew Jesus. If they saw Jesus, they'd say, hey, Jesus, that's my friend Jesus. They knew Jesus. But in this moment, in the crisis, in the heartache, and ultimate victory, they experienced Jesus in a far greater way. And here's why I say this, and I think this is important for us to know in such a challenging season that we're in. Wouldn't you agree that isn't it true that we often know Jesus in the good times, but we experience Jesus in the bad times? Isn't it true that, you know, when things are good, you know, we might come to church or do all that and we know Jesus and that's awesome, that's great. But isn't it true in those challenging times that we experience Jesus in a different level? And in that moment, as Martha is at this dinner party and now they're giving this in honor of Jesus, and maybe as I mentioned earlier, there were speeches and people clapped and cheered, and maybe Martha and Mary, they got up to speak. But at the end of the day, Martha is serving at a different level now because she's experienced Jesus. She's experienced his presence. She's experienced who he is. And because of that, she serves, I think, at a completely different level because she now has a vision of who Jesus really is. And going at church, in this challenging season, you can't forget who Jesus is. You can't be more afraid of the circumstances than being obedient to what God is calling you in your life. Now, the reason I say that, if you got the email this week from Andy and me, where I made the announcement that I'm transitioning out as lead pastor effective September 30th to serve a broader collection of churches and businesses based in large part to what you helped launch here with Fort Gwinnett. I just gotta be honest with you. You might know this. Now's not like the perfect time to have a career transition, right? Now's not necessarily the time we were like, you know what? I think I'm going to make a career change. This seems like the perfect time to do that. But in these moments, If we don't couch it with prayer and wisdom and all the stuff that you're supposed to do, and I talked about that in the video, in that moment, when you come to this moment and you're like, oh, I think I'm more afraid of the circumstances than I'm afraid of disobeying the will of God, then what happens in that moment is the vision of eternity and a dinner party at Jesus begins to fade away and the circumstances get bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm not asking you to do something stupid. I'm not asking you to do something unwise. In fact, if you heard my video and how Wendy and I walked through the due diligence and the process of how we got to this point, a lot of wisdom, a lot of prayer, a lot of all that. But at the end of the day, you got to say, Lord, I want to tell a great story when I'm at the dinner party with you. And I don't want it to be, how could I do this? How could I serve more churches? How could I serve great more businesses? Because what if it doesn't work? It might not work. But the biggest thing that we get to say is, Lord, we tried. We want to serve. And when you serve with that kind of vision, here's what happens. We become distributors of hope. And wouldn't you agree that the world needs a little bit of this? When ultimately your vision is someday I'm going to be at a feast and a dinner party with Jesus, and I want a great story to tell, no matter how challenging, no matter how afraid, no matter what the circumstances might be, you want to be able to say, you know what? But my vision toward eternity allowed me to try to step out in faith to you. And I'm telling you, I said this when the virus hit back in May. Gwinnett Church, now is our opportunity. Like never before, people are going to listen to the church. Like never before. But good grief, I'm not sure the church at large, we're leveraging this. I mean, we're so critical of one another. I mean, social media. I mean, I see church leaders criticizing other church leaders, and I'm like, really? Seriously? I thought we were on the same team. And so in this moment, we have an opportunity to be distributors of hope, because that someday we know we're going to be at the dinner party with Jesus, and we want to tell a really good story. And so I want to give you a couple of examples of what that looks like. As you have continued to give and provide for our ministry here, there's some opportunities that even in the midst of not being able to physically gather on Sunday mornings, as you've heard me say before, the church isn't closed. We never closed. Just looks a little bit different. Let me give you a couple of examples of that real quick. And the reason I want to give you these examples is because I think these are moments where we are distributors of hope. Say, hey, I know these are challenging days. But I'm telling you, there's a God who loves you, a God who's for you, and we're going to be with him someday. Let's write a good story right now. A couple of weeks ago, we did a prayer walk around our building, both here and at Hamilton Mill. And this is an Instagram post that Tiffany May mentioned on Instagram. I know you can't read this, so let me just read it for you. I won't read the whole thing, but I might. It's actually amazing, Tiffany. She says, man, it's hard, you guys. I miss church so much. Gathering fellow believers, worshiping Jesus together, serving others to encourage them on their journey, hearing message of truth to get you through another week. The church isn't closed. It just looks a little different right now. We can still do all of these things in new ways, in smaller groups for the time being. We went on a prayer walk around our church at Gwinnett Church on Sunday night, and my heart really needed it. There were signs placed around the building asking for prayer for different groups of people with verses to accompany those prayers. It's easy to become self-consumed during this time. I love that statement. It's easy to become self-consumed during this time that can feel very isolating. So I was grateful to get out of my bubble and get back to a property that holds so much comfort to me and pray for others and what they are going through. Keep going, everyone. Draw near to God. Pray for him to do a miracle in your life and the lives of those around you and in your community and in our nation and in our world. He is working hard behind the scenes. I promise you. You know what Tiffany May is doing here? She's got a vision that someday she's going to be at a dinner party with Jesus and she's going to be able to bring this Instagram post up. And I think Jesus is going to say, oh, I love that. That was amazing. And by the way, as you walked around the building and prayed, I listened to those prayers as well. For those of you that continue to serve here, as you continue to as I mentioned, give financially here, we've created these drive-through opportunities. And I love this video that Brittany Stewart put on Instagram, just about the feeling that she had coming back here. But what I want you to see in this moment, for all of you who volunteer, this moment that you're about to hear and see would not have been possible if you were not serving, if you were not distributors of hope. Watch this.
Okay, for people that know me, I'm not an overly emotional person, but Colton and I just got back. Oh my God, I'm going to lose it again. We just got back from the Upstreet in Wombaland drive-thru at Hamilton Mill for the summer kickoff, and I full-on sobbed the whole way home. Oh my gosh, you guys, I miss Gwinnett Church. Look, it is where we read it now. Colton feels the same way.
Distributors of hope. So in this moment, even though we're not gathering in person, the church isn't closed. So this week, here's what I want to challenge you to do as we are distributors of hope. Let's try to at least encourage one person this week, all right? And here's why this is important. The more personable, the more remarkable. The more personable, the more remarkable. Maybe you need to pick up the phone and call somebody. Maybe you need to write a note of encouragement. Maybe you need to post something on Instagram that's very encouraging in this very volatile social media climate. But try to pick one person this week to serve, or write a story this week that will show up at the dinner party with Jesus. And here's why this is so important. As Martha served with a different view, she now had experienced the power of Jesus. And yes, she had a huge advantage over us because she saw a dead man come back to life. And yet we actually have an advantage over Martha because she probably didn't know at that time that there were actually two people at this dinner party who would actually die and come back to life, her brother and her Savior. And what Jesus, I think, is saying to you and to me, hey, I have a vision for your future. And that vision is you and I are going to spend eternity together. But between now and then, you have an extraordinary opportunity in the road ahead to serve people, to be distributors of hope, so that they come to know who I am. And you come to encourage them in a difficult season. And someday, in some way, at that dinner party, that story this week will show up there. Do you know, and I know you do, but do you know what an extraordinary opportunity this week is? Yeah, there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of difficulties. Not downplaying any of that. But don't be dismayed. There's a future coming for you. There's a Savior who is alive and well. And there are some things that you can do this week to be distributors of hope to the people in your world in the name of Jesus. And I say all that to say this. Don't let what we don't know rob us of what we can do. So Gwinnett Church, this week, we can be distributors of hope. We can serve people really, really well. We can encourage people really, really well. And as we do, we can be distributors of hope. And here's why we can do it. This week, we can be distributors of hope because Jesus is alive. And when you lock in on that vision that Jesus is alive, and when you lock in on this reality that we're going to be at this massive feast forever and ever in honor of Jesus, and there are going to be some conversations happening, that will give you the hope and the purpose and the energy and the peace and the faith to proceed ahead in the road ahead. Because there's a vision that God has for your life. And ultimately, what we do in this moment, let's just say this week, Heavenly Father, this week, Lord Jesus, this week, Holy Spirit, We're going to be distributors of hope because we are here for you, and we are going to live for that moment at that party forever. We're not going to allow the difficulties of these days to beat down the vision of that moment. We're not going to allow the circumstances and the challenges to diminish the reality that someday, some way, somehow, I'm going to be with Jesus forever. And I want to be able to say, remember when? And Jesus is going to say, I believe, remember, I was with you the whole time. So, Gwinnett Church, lift your eyes. Lock in on that vision. Lock in on that future dinner party. Let's go be distributors of hope this week. And as we do, may we say as a church, we, Lord Jesus, are here for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for the story of Lazarus. Thank you most of all for the story of your son. And I certainly don't want to downplay the challenges of these days. So will you lift our eyes? And when you draw close to us, and this week as we distribute hope, maybe just to one person, will you meet us there and do something powerful in that moment? And may we know that we cannot allow the challenges of these days and what we don't know to rob us of what we can do. This week we can serve, and this week we can be distributors of hope. So meet us there. Thank you for walking with us, and thank you for inviting us to this massive party that someday we will be at, honoring you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.